Welcome everybody here and online. We are going to start with some congregational participation. So sit up straight, be ready. Raise your hand if you have ever been distracted. I like our honesty. Raise your hand if you have ever been worried. We're two for two. So we invite God today to deal with our distractions and our worries, because they are two of the three problems that are named in this passage that Dave just read, and they're two of the three problems that pester us, many of us, all week long. We're going to come back to the third one later. But we need God to grow our skills and our thinking today so that we are equipped to do what we talked about last week: love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. So that tonight, when you're laying in bed, and you can't sleep, and all those fears start doing a little tap dance in your mind, you'll know what to do. And listen, this is one sermon, so it's only going to do so much, but we've got to keep growing so that we can focus and live. Jesus did not say, Jesus did not come just so that we would have life, but so that we would have it abundantly, not just barely hanging on. Because here's what worry does to us. It permeates our lives. It clogs up our lungs and our relationships. And the problem of distraction in this passage, I'm going to boil it down to focus. When I was in youth group and someone started going off topic, we would all look at the person and just do this, like focus, like a camera lens, just focus, right? But it's not just that easy. We can't just snap our fingers and not worry. It's not that simple. And our anxiety today in the world has gone through the roof. The American Psychiatric Association just reported that almost 50% of U.S. adults feel more anxious at this time last year than we did a year ago. I hope that talking about this anxiety doesn't increase our heart rates today. And even though in our Anabaptism and in our North American hustle, even though both of those demand every second be as efficient as possible, we lose hours instead of gaining hours due to our worry. This passage today has some answers for us that can bring us peace and focus. So we're going to start with Matthew, the writer of this gospel. Somebody please call out to me what Matthew's occupation was before he was a disciple. He was a tax collector. Did the Jewish people like tax collectors? No, because tax collectors were Jewish men who were working with Rome against the other Jews. And they were known to collect more than what was required so that they could line their pockets with it. Remember that. They use their own power. They use their power for their own gain. It's selfish. It goes back to what Laurie was talking about in the children's lesson. Being generous is the opposite. So picture with me when Jesus saw Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus said. And Matthew did. Even though Peter, Andrew, James, and John were already disciples of Jesus, and Matthew knew this might increase his stress, and he followed anyway. Those other disciples didn't like him. He knew there was going to be friction. He did it anyway. I love that. In what way in our life is worry keeping us from following Jesus, from following what Jesus has called us to do, from distracting us from Jesus? Is there anything that we would intentionally give permission to distract us from Jesus? So think about this. What do you think it was like for Matthew to write these words of Jesus, "Do not worry"? I don't know if Matthew struggled with worry, but four times here Jesus says, "Do not worry." That's 4 times more than Jesus talked about homosexuality. That's 4 times more than Jesus talked about abortion. That's 4 times more than Jesus says, follow your heart. For 3 years, Matthew had bumped shoulders with Peter, who could be difficult to deal with, and who likely despised him because he'd been a tax collector. What was Matthew's experience with worry as a disciple, and what did he learn from Jesus about worry? Jesus didn't say, ignore your feelings. Jesus didn't say, pack them up in a box and hide them down in the basement. Jesus became fully human and knows what it's like to feel worry and distraction and anger and sadness and disrespect. Jesus' prayer book was the Psalms, in which we can find every emotion, which means our prayers get to be messy and raw and human. When we need to vent, God is available. God can take our strong emotions. And God is wise enough to ask us to bring our emotions to God, and loving enough to provide a way for us, not around our emotions, but through. It's why counseling and medication can be very effective tools for working through our emotions, our worries. And I'm glad the church has made tremendous progress in the last 20 years, reducing the stigma and the shame of worry. God cares not just about the spiritual, not just about the physical, but also the emotional and mental and relational, all of us. So we're going to do something tangible that comes straight from the passage. Linda, a number of weeks ago, you said you wanted to help me with a sermon. Would you be willing to help me today? Okay, are you feeling steady or do you want somebody to give you a hand? Crystal is at the ready if you would like some help coming forward, and we've got a chair for you right here in the middle. All right, you comfortable?
Yeah.
All right. So, Linda, I remember you telling me once, and David telling me once, that sometimes people do things that are mean to you.
Yeah.
And sometimes they say something mean, sometimes they do something mean. It doesn't feel good, right?
Why?
Right. So sometimes when people are mean, their words stick to us like a post-it note. May I put some post-its on your arms and on your legs?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Okay. This one says that name. So, Linda, all of us out here have all been called names and all felt put down before too. It's not just you. We've all gone through it, all right? This is an example. So whatever that name is for you that you've been called, that stuck to you, Linda, you know what that's like.
Yep.
Sometimes when we're called that name, it makes us feel worthless. This says, I'm worthless. May I put this on your hand? There we go. Sometimes that sticks to us. It becomes part of our identity. We feel worthless. And sometimes when that happens, we start thinking, I can't do it.
I can't do it.
That sticks to our legs. That impacts how we move and what we do. And so we start thinking we're not enough.
Not enough.
And it sticks to us. Do those thoughts help us or hinder us follow Jesus? Do those thoughts create worry or do they decrease?
Decrease.
They decrease worry. You got it, Linda.
Yeah.
So listen, when those thoughts and emotions start pestering us, here's the first thing that this passage says to do. You brush them off. Brush them off. Do you want to take them off or you want me to take them off? You got it. Sometimes we need help taking them off. Sometimes we can do it ourselves. There's one more down here on your leg. I got it. Now, we don't need those anymore. We're just going to let them go, okay? Now, I've got to teach you actually 2 things. I've just been learning this. Let me back up and give some context.
Yep.
Life is not as simple as just brushing off. What Linda did, it's not that easy. We can't just remove it. But one of the things I've learned is if something is sticking to you that's not what God says about you, and you peel it off and you look at it and you say, oh, I'm feeling worthless. You peel it off of you and look at it. You get some distance from it. It helps you to be able to be curious about it. Yeah. So that really helps that process for your brain to be able to make that change earlier, quicker, more effectively. All right. Now I've got to teach you something else. Because, listen carefully, it's not this easy. If praying harder would solve our problems, there would be no reason for church. And God didn't not solve our problems just so that we'd have church, right? There's mysteries we don't understand, but sometimes the power of thinking, it can be effective, and sometimes the power of positive thinking just makes us annoyed, right? Or sometimes people will misuse it a little bit, and it can be hurtful. Sometimes it doesn't work for us. It can be hard to retrain our minds when there's chemical factors going on in our bodies that hold us in depression.
Your body don't work.
Yeah. It's interesting to me, and sit just for a second, okay? We're going to come back to this. It's interesting to me that Matthew holds together this idea of worry with seek ye first the kingdom of God and seek ye first God's righteousness. Matthew holds these together. Don't let the kingdom language trip you up. This is too important. Because Jesus says four times, don't worry, and then he starts talking about our distraction, our lack of focus, and says, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. So we're going to practice. Yeah. Laura, if you would come forward to help me. And Marcus, be at the ready. God's kingdom means the new world it's the new world that Jesus began through his death and resurrection. God's kingdom is all about the promises we have of what God has done and is doing and promises to do. So I want your participation. What does God say about Linda and about all of us in relation to who we are in God's view? What does God say about our identity? I need some brave people willing to raise your hand, and Marcus will bring you a microphone and say the word or the phrase about this kingdom language, what God says, what's true in the kingdom about Linda. Who's feeling brave?
A child of God.
Thank you, Becky.
Someone who's deeply loved.
Thank you, Sarah.
Linda is a married woman. Today is her anniversary.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Elwood. Good historical note.
My birthday coming up.
Your birthday's coming up. All right, we're gonna celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He will rejoice over you with gladness and singing.
Thank you, Ben. So Laura has written down each of these words. Thank you, Marcus. We'll finish that. So Linda, I want to give these words to you that the congregation has said about you.
Did you
hear these words?
Yeah.
God rejoices over you with singing. God loves you. So when other people say those things to you that are mean, you peel that off, you say, oh, wait a minute, I'm thinking.
Wait a minute.
This is what matters.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You can go back to your seat, Linda. Thank you, Laura.
Okay.
What if Jesus is saying today, change your focus? Prioritize what you're thinking about and who you are following. Emotions make a terrible leader. Emotions make a terrible God. Jesus makes a wonderful leader and God. Who will we follow? Jesus never said, be led by your feelings. Jesus said, come and follow me. I've got to show you this one last thing that's important. And first, for context, remember that the text says, seek first God's righteousness. That means, righteousness just means the right relationship we've been given with God and the right relationship that God is building with people that we see God doing in this congregation. God has done that. That's what righteousness is. So remember how Matthew, a tax collector, was making money off the hardship of the other Jews. As much as this passage is about worry, there's an even bigger problem that Jesus is underlining. Selfishness. Selfishness is what the heart of this passage in the context of the Sermon on the Mount is about. This blew me away. I'll show you. The real instruction from Jesus is more about our selfishness. He says, do not worry about your life. What you eat or what you drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Jesus does not say be unconcerned about what others, if they have enough to eat or drink or wear. Jesus lived attentive to the basic needs of others. We see this in his life. So listen closely. I am not saying that when we are locked in anxiety or depression, that we are being selfish and we should ignore our needs. No. I am saying that Jesus says, don't worry about what you eat and don't worry about what you wear. I'm saying that Jesus is making a point about how we care for others. Bruner says, when the 4,000 and 5,000 are hungry, Jesus commands his disciples, give them something to eat. And at the end of Jesus' life, Jesus tells his disciples that at Judgment Day, we will be told, I was hungry, and you gave me or you did not give me something to eat. So seeking God's righteousness, which includes a right relationship with other people, is to be attentive to the hunger of our neighbor. Bruner says our command is to take our eyes off of ourselves, move the mirror away, to move the focus off of our lives, off our own selfish anxiety for things for ourselves, and to look around God's world for a place where we can throw ourselves into the cause of the poor. Some of us are eager to join in that work and have been, and I celebrate that is God at work in our lives. Some of us are weary and need God's comfort. And this community cares about you imperfectly and yet growing in love. And I celebrate that too because that's also God at work. The disciples like Matthew and Peter grew to trust God and it changed the world. God can do that again through 12 disciples. May we learn God is trustworthy. May we live it. Now, there's one more thing that we need to do. Everybody today gets to be anointed. Some of us may want to be anointed for the start of a new church year. Some of us may want anointing for our leadership or our work or for our families or for healing. For some of us, the anointing is for God to equip us to follow. Some of us may be praying as we come forward to be set free from worry, and some of us may be praying to be able to focus on God's kingdom and righteousness. And whatever we choose, that's between us and God. As Paul and Sarah and Mike come forward to serve, please join me in a prayer for this anointing. God, I thank you for your presence with us. Speak to each heart and mind what is needed. Use the oil to slide off the words, hurts, and fears that have attached to us. Replace them with hearts and minds focused and equipped to follow Christ, through whom we pray. Amen. Come forward in two rows down the center aisle and then exit down the exterior aisles.